The title of this is called It Is Well. It Is Well. And so we're going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 4. So 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse 8. And I'll give you guys a little bit of time to get there. 2 Kings 4, verse 8, and it's going to go clear through the 37. Okay, verse 8, it says, "One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there, who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, 'I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us.'" And so this woman's name was never mentioned in Scripture, but only known as the Shunammite. And so Shunem was a stopping ground between Samaria and Carmel. And so this route was often traveled by Elisha, the prophet. And so this woman, she was known as a well-to-do woman. So she had financial means. She was taken care of as far as all her physical needs. So she had some money. But she was also a woman of great influence and great character. And she showed the love to others through her hospitality and her kindness. So some people have the gift of hospitality. This woman had the gift of hospitality, and she was so kind to people that would come through her town. And so she was known as a great woman. But she was also full of faith because she was very discerning of who Elisha was, because she told her husband, "This is a man of God." And so immediately she began to start making accommodations for Elisha. And of course, as a woman, she had a vision. She's like, "Okay, I know we've got this spot up here on the roof. You know, we can make a room, and, you know, oh, we've got to make a bed for him. You know, it has to be comfortable. He's going to need a table. He's going to need a chair. Can't forget the lamp. You know, we have to make this room for him." And so she was very into her details of what was going to go into that room, because she wanted him to have rest. She wanted him to have comfort whenever he traveled, because it was quite a distance between the places that he was going. And so also remember that during this time, the word of God came only through the prophets. Okay, so now we're going to read at verse 11. It said, "One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Call the Shunammite.' So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, 'Tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?' She replied, 'I have a home among my people, my own people.' 'What can be done for her?' Elisha asked. And Gehazi said, 'She has no son. Her husband is old.' Then Elisha said, 'Call her.' So he called her, and she stood in the doorway." Now we got to remember, she did not want any type of recognition. She didn't want Elisha to say anything to a king, let alone a commander of an army, on her behalf. Her whole means of preparing the room for Elisha was to get nothing in return. She was just doing it out of the kindness of her heart. Yet Elisha wanted to bless her so much. And so he called her back. And I love the part in the story where it says she stood in the doorway. So many times the place of our miracle and to receive our miracle is right at the door. Are we willing to open the door and receive all that he has for us? And it brought me to the scripture where it says in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." And so the woman is standing in the doorway, and a prophetic word is about to be spoken over her. something she didn't even ask for. Verse 16, it goes on to say, about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. So does this remind you of another story? Because it did me. This was the same promise that the Lord gave to Abraham and Sarah regarding the birth of Isaac. And so Abraham, of course, told the Lord, he goes, I'm too old. You know, there's no way that this can happen. But the Lord told him, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Yet her response was, you know, don't get my hopes up because I don't want to become disappointed. And so believing God for this promise not only included faith on her, but it was faith that God would be sufficient to carry on and do, to carry the promise through no matter what would come later. And so the other thing to look at here too was to be barren during that time, it was looked down upon. It was very shameful that a woman felt that if she could not have a child, it was very shame that was brought on her. And so remember the verse said that her husband was old. So maybe that is why she was unable to have children. It doesn't really say how old she was, but it does reference how old her husband was. And so she didn't have a son. And I remember the story that I was preached on one time about Ruth and Boaz. So because of the situation with Naomi, you know, there was no one to carry on the name because her sons had died. And so in Bible times, you need a kinsman redeemer. You need someone that will marry you, especially if you don't have any children. And so it was very necessary for her to have that son to carry on the inheritance and everything that was hers, because if she didn't have anybody to marry her, she'd lose everything. Women could not own property during that time. And so the other thing that I kept thinking of too was how long did she desire a child? So how long did she desire a child? You know, this son that she always hoped for, but it never came. So I kept thinking of these questions, you know, what have I hoped for? What have you hoped for? What have you been praying for? But you haven't seen the miracle. You haven't seen the answer. Do you get to the point where you just stop believing? You stop wishing for those things because now the disappointments of it not happening, you know, year after year because you're waiting, you begin to lose hope. And so Elisha, when I read this, Elisha didn't ask for a bed. He didn't ask for a room. And she didn't ask for a son. But God gave them both what they didn't ask for. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So in this verse, I kind of looked it up because he was reminding Habakkuk that what goes out of his mouth comes back to him having fulfilled its purpose. God is not a man that he should lie. And so if God says something, it's going to be done, and it's going to be done the way he wants it done, and it's going to be in his appointed time. Verse 17, it goes on to say, the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew. What I found amazing is in one verse, the child grew 5 to 8 years. That had to be the range. And so it says the child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. Verse 19, he said to his father, my head, my head. His father told the servant, as every man that we're married to would say, carry him to his mother. And so, you know, if a child's sick, they're like, just go to your mother. Go tell your mother, and mother will take care of you. So the mother, after the servant brought him to her, she lifted him up and he carried her to his mother. And the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. They think it was probably about a 3-hour period from the time in the morning when they're, you know, reaping the harvest And so it said until noon, and then that's when he died. So there was a 3-hour period that she was holding this child in her arms. And so she went up and she laid her son on the bed of the man of God, and then she shut the door and went out. She called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so that I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. It's not a new moon or the Sabbath." "It is well." Another version says, "It is all right. It's all right," she said. So she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and she came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So let's look at a few things here. The first thing that I really noticed here is that she took her son that was given to her by God and placed him in the very room where the promise was spoken that she was going to have a son. The second thing that I saw here was she did not tell her husband anything. So nor did she even have any emotion of a grieving mother, because her husband would have noticed something was wrong, you know, by the tone of her voice. And back then when there was a death, I mean, they went into heavy mourning. I mean, the bawling and the whole town knew, you know, she didn't do that. And so she concealed it from him. And so she was walking in a place of faith and hope because she did not make preparations for a burial. She was making preparations for a miracle. You got to get that. That was so good. When the Lord showed me this, is like she, because immediately when someone died, they begin getting the anointing oil. They begin getting all the perfume. They immediately, as soon as that death, they don't wait. She did not do that. So she began to make preparations for a miracle instead of a burial. I want us to look at faith and belief, because this is a great teaching, and I know my husband has preached on the belief system. It's so important. So get online and re, you know, listen to those, because we need to get those inside of us. But let me tell you what I saw in this story here and in the scriptures. Our beliefs are the things that we are truly and thoroughly convinced of. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I know, you know, Sharon, the time when she had that supposedly cancer on her lips, she knew that was not cancer, no matter what the doctor was telling her. And it wasn't, you know, she was thoroughly convinced. So we got to get in a place where we are thoroughly convinced. That's what our belief system is. And so many times we have the wrong belief system. And that's what we're trying to get across is, man, if you get the wrong belief system and you are thoroughly convinced of the lies, thoroughly convinced. And so we got to get the wrong belief system to the right thing, the right belief system, the belief system that God has, because that is truth. And so that's why it's so hard for some people who have carried that for so long. It's hard to change it. It's hard because you've walked in it, and it's something that has thoroughly convinced you. And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit and God to take that wrong belief system out of us so that we can truly believe on His word and what He says. And that's the truth. And stop believing the lies of the enemy. Amen? So, faith. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you know that you have the wrong belief system, then guess what? You need to get in the word of God. You need to listen to the word of God, because faith, if you don't have faith in something, then you need to hear what God has, because He's the one that's going to provide you the faith. And the more that you know Him, the more that you believe Him, and the more that you walk in what He's wanting us to walk in. So faith includes our beliefs, and faith also requires action. Faith is being confident and having the assurance and the certainty in God and His spoken word. So even though things weren't fine, it wasn't fine. Her son had died in her arms. It wasn't fine. But she wasn't in denial. And so many times people say, oh, you know, they're limping and, you know, saying they're healed and they're just walking in denial. She was not walking in denial. It wasn't that. Her faith was being activated, and she knew that the birth of her son was a true miracle from God. That was something that she knew. She felt it happened. It was inside of her. She knew that God did this for her. And so by faith, she knew that the God that performed the miracle in her could also restore life to her son. That's why she laid him on that bed, and she was preparing for that miracle to happen. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the things that she spoke, the words that she spoke to her husband, it is well. Proverbs 18:21, we're all familiar with this. It says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. She wasn't about to even speak anything because she was in a place of faith. Her faith was being activated. I think she was hoping her husband wasn't going to say, hey, by the way, how's our son doing? He didn't ask. She just, you know, well, why do you want to go to the prophet? Well, you know, it is well. It was enough. And so faith was activated by her actions. Faith moves us to do something. The stories that I was reminded of, people in the Bible that their faith was activated. And again, there's so many. But the ones that really spoke out to me was Peter when he was in the boat. And he wanted to walk on the water, but he had to step out of the boat. So that was his faith being activated. Noah building the boat before the floods even came. Esther going before the king. She knew you don't do things like that. But she was making preparations to go before the king no matter what. Faith being activated. And so the Shunammite was convinced that she was going to go to this man who could change her situation. And so she set out for Mount Carmel. And I looked it up, and it looks like it was about 20 miles away. So roughly it took her 4 to 5 hours on a donkey to get to Elisha. And so verse 25, we continue to read, and it says, when he, Elisha, saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there is the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And when he went out there, she answered to the servant, it is well. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she took hold of his feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. So her emotions finally come out as she falls before the feet of Elisha. Again, she said, it is well. She didn't come to meet Gehazi. She came to the man of God. And so she falls at his feet. And I was remembered, again, every time I was reading these, it just kept reminding me of other stories in the Bible, because, man, so many, so similar. And so the women who went to Jesus and poured the perfume on his feet, and one of the disciples wanted to push her away, and Jesus said, leave her be. And so Gehazi, he also tries to push the Shunammite woman away, and she replies to Elisha at this point and says, verse 28, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? I kind of looked at this, and it's like sometimes it hurts to hope, especially, you know, women who have been trying to get pregnant. You know, they try, and every month, you know, they get that test report, and it's negative, and then it's negative, and it's negative, and they become so disappointed. They start losing hope that this will ever happen. They're like, okay, I'm just maybe not meant to have kids, you know. And so my heart goes out to women like that. But you can imagine the disappointments that we go through, you know. And so I began to ask, you know, what is it that we've stopped hoping for? Because those things that we have said and cried out to God, and it just has never come. He's not answered. We feel like he's not doing anything. So many times, like our kids, you know, that's the biggest thing for a mom. You worry about your kids, and you know, you're praying, you're standing on the Word of God, and nothing's changing, and you know, it becomes a disappointment, and you feel like, you know, I'm losing hope. It's been 5 years, it's been 10 years, it's been 15 years, it's been 20 years. And so I want to ask you, have you stopped praying and asking because you no longer believe that that promise is going to be fulfilled? How long have you waited? And now has it gotten to the point, now you've forgotten about it? Maybe something that you knew that God spoke in your life when you were younger, and now you're older, you're like, I've forgotten all about that because it never happened. And so you've given up that hope. Disappointments can overshadow our hope. Verse 29, continuing to read. And it's in 2 Kings is kind of where we're at. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8. Okay, let me go back here to my... So verse 29, Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak in your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said to Elisha, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. Again, it brought remembrance to the same very words. In 2 Kings chapter 2, these are the very words Elisha said to Elijah. When Elijah wanted to go on to Bethel before he was taken up, Elisha told Elijah, as surely as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. Can you imagine that deja vu moment that he had? He's like, as soon as he heard those words, it's like, these are the exact words that I spoke. And so he knew she was determined. She was not leaving. Just as much as he was determined, he was not going to leave Elijah. So, continuing to read on. So it says, so he got up, Elisha, and he followed her. Gehazi, he went on ahead, and he laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So the servant went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. Now remember, it took 3 to 5 hours for her to get to him, and it took another 3 to 5 hours for them to get to her house. So quite a bit of time has passed, and so this boy has been dead for quite a long time. But again, nothing's too big for God, amen? So let's look at something that I saw here. Elisha asked his servant to take his staff, but nothing happened. The staff, we know, represents the authority of God. And so God was connected to the staff through whom the one it belonged to. We know that the objects don't, that isn't where you know, God will use things, but it's really through the person who takes ownership of that. And so he was gifted and authorized and anointed with this staff. And so Gehazi may have been given the staff, but the power of God was not in him to perform the miracle. Stop trying to carry someone else's authority and the anointing. You need to walk in the anointing and the power of God that he's given you. So many times we are like, you know, someone will come to us and want prayer, or oh, well, you need to call Sharon. Sharon would be the one that you need to pray for. When here that person is in front of you, and maybe God's called you to do that. And so we're so concerned, thinking, well, it's not me. The anointing's more in somebody else, okay? And so we have to be careful, because you know what? God's given us the power. He's given us the anointing. And so many times we're trying to pass it off on somebody else, and that is not the intention of God. If you're carrying it and it's coming to you and He wants you to do it, then take it up. Take up the authority that you have, and you do it. Stop trying to give it to somebody else. The other scripture that brought to my mind was in John 15:15, that says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I started to think of Gehazi, because again, he was doing only what he was told, but it says that he just laid the staff on the boy. So I began thinking, So I was trying to walk through. I wonder exactly what steps he took. But I think he did exactly what Elisha told him to do. So he just laid the staff on the boy, thinking, okay, is anything going to happen? And nothing happened. And so then he just walked out of the room and said, didn't work. So I put here, when God's assignments look physically impossible, He will make it possible. Nothing is beyond God's ability or His resources. So, again, when Abraham didn't think he could have a son because of his age, the Lord told Abraham he would. And the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I looked this up because I kept thinking, again, I'm like, I know I've seen this in other places throughout the Word of God. And I love how the Bible just from one story to, I mean, it all comes together from this story to that story. It all says the same thing. I love it. And so there are over 100 verses in the Bible that reference those words. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God's trying to tell us something, right? If it's in 100 verses within the Bible, man, we got to read the word and get it in us and believe it. So many times God has called us, and we want to send somebody else. But Gehazi didn't prophesy the promise. The word of God was spoken through Elisha. So Elisha was the vessel that got used, not Gehazi. Let's continue reading at verse 32. It says, when Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying on the bed. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. So the thing that stood out to me was the mother and the servant had to stand outside. So she had to totally and completely trust God that He would do only what He could do through Elisha. Sometimes you will have to close the door behind you, get alone with God so that it's just you and Him. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. She, once again, had no idea what was going on behind that closed door. But I know that she had great hope and she had great faith in this man of God. So God is working even when we can't see it. And He's working while we're waiting. And again, when it said that, because I said it earlier, because it said Elisha closed the door and he prayed. Didn't say anything about Gehazi doing any of that. So they were walking in a different place. So verse 34, it says, then he got on the bed and he lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out on him, and the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and he paced. He was walking back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. And so a few of the things just really came out and spoke to me. Because I'm the one that, when I read something, I start asking questions. Because it's almost like, I want to know the full story. You know, it's like, just don't tell me this. Well, how are they feeling? What happened? That's why I love books that just, you know, you have to go into that detail. Because I want the details. Don't just give me a summary. No, I want the details of everything. And so I'm always asking. And again, I think Sharon does the same thing. Because that's just the person in me that I want to be able to teach and understand, because I know that other people have to ask. I'm not the only one, because I want to know. And so when I was reading this, the few things that spoke to me was Gehazi. Again, I talked a little bit. He came in and he laid that staff on the boy's face and nothing changed. But Elisha went in and he prayed to the Lord. And so I believe at that point, God gave them instruction. So Gehazi wasn't seeking God, but Elisha began seeking God. And so he lay on the boy, and I know that God must have told him, you need to do this. And so when I was looking at this, I'm like, no, this is kind of weird, you know. But it's like picturing it in my mind, his live eyes was on looking into dead boy's eyes. His mouth was breathing life into this dead boy's mouth. His hands was on this child's arms. And so when he did that, he got up. Okay, it began warmth. So there was warmth on it. But again, he got up, he began pacing. We have to see with the eyes of faith. We have to speak to those dead things that we're going through, that seems dead to us, that nothing's happening. And we have to see with the eyes of faith, and we have to speak to those things. We have to pray. We have to persevere with those things, because this wasn't an instant miracle. It really wasn't. It doesn't say in here, in one verse, 4 to 5 years went by, because it says she had him on his lap. So, you know, he couldn't have been a teenager, because she had to lift him and take him up these stairs to the roof. So he had to have been between the ages of 4 to maybe 5, 8 years old. Because other than that, because I'm picturing my grandkids, I'm like, I don't know that I could lift these kids. So it had to have been, you know, pretty small child. It was not a teenager. And so so we have to remember, he continued walking back and forth. So again, we don't know how long this was taking place, but it wasn't an instant miracle. So James 5:16, it brought me, reminded me of this scripture. It says, the effectual, fervent, and fervent means powerful, heartfelt, and passionate prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so immediately when I saw that, I'm like, that is exactly what he was doing. And it's like so many times God is working, but when we fail to see the instant miracle, we just stop believing. Okay, well, it didn't happen. So we give up. Elisha continued to press in, and he kept praying, and he kept speaking life. Speak life to your situations. Don't give up. And it reminded me of her, his mother, outside of that door. And then I thought of intercessors, because, you know, she wasn't just sitting there. She was interceding. She was interceding on behalf of her son. She was praying, God, whatever Elisha is doing, we know it's coming from you, but God, you know, she was, intercessory prayer is so, so important. And so it just brought a picture to my mind that, you know, she wasn't just standing there waiting. She was also interceding for her son, for the resurrection of that, and so that God would resurrect her son. She was still in a place of faith, but I know she was interceding on behalf. So then it said that he stretched out on him once more. And so he knows the first time nothing happened, But then one more time, God said, do it one more time. And so he did, and the boy sneezes seven times. And we know that seven, the number seven, means completion. It means perfection. So God perfected the miracle. He perfected the healing within this boy. So when God comes on the scene, it's complete. Your healing is complete. When Elisha asked for the boy's mom to come in, he told her, take your son. But first, because I had to reread it again, I'm like, did she fall at the feet of her son, or did she fall at the feet of Elisha? And as I continue reading, it was like, she fell at the feet of Elisha and bowed down. And when I looked at this, I know she wasn't bowing down in worship to Elisha. The only God at this time in the Bible that she knew, the word of God only came through the prophets. Mm-hmm. So she was actually bowing at his feet because of who was in him. She was truly being thankful for God being the one to restore life to her son. She was honoring God. So then she went over to the bed and she lifted up her son. So she was once again embracing her miracle once again. It is well. It is well. So her faith was so steadfast, and she honored the man of God. She honored him by making a room for him to sleep in, a room to rest in as he was passing through on his way to Mount Carmel. And some would say it was just a room. Oh, it's just a room. But it was a room where the presence of God stayed, and it became a room that held a miracle. I love that. And so this isn't just the end of the story, because as I was reading this, I was like, oh, that was a great story. But if you keep reading to chapter 8 in 2 Kings, this story actually picks up. It's like there's so much that goes on in between there. So keep reading the pages of the Bible, because now we're getting to the second part. So 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, he said, go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman proceeded to do as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to appeal to the king for her house and the land. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, tell me about the great things Elisha has done. Just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. So remember, in the fourth chapter, Elisha asked her, you know, can we speak to the king on your behalf? Can we speak to a commander of the army on your behalf? And she's like, no, there's no need to do that because, you know, I have all I need. There's nothing. I didn't do this to get anything. I just wanted to bless you. This is what I did. So, but when Elisha gave instruction and the word of the Lord told her, you've got to go because there's going to be a famine in the land, she obeyed. That's the one thing that this woman of God, if the Lord spoke, she obeyed. And so she, at this turn, left everything she owned. Remember in the verse, she says, you know, I'm okay among my people. You know, this is where I'm at. I'm okay. Well, now God was sending her away from her people, and she was okay. So she left everything that she owned, her people, and she went to the land of the Philistines. So after 7 years, she went to appeal to the king to get back what was taken from her. So during this seven-year period, something happened with her land. And so it was either sold or the king, they took it over. There was something, but it was no longer hers. And so she now, when she came back after 7 years, she's like, okay, this is not mine. What can I do? And so she knew at this point, where before she didn't need to go to the king, Now she knew she had to go before the king to get back what was taken from her. And so Gehazi said, "This is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him. So the story and the testimony that took place 7 years ago had to happen because the timing for her increase is about to be ordered by the king. So not only was the king hearing about this miraculous story of the dead child being brought back to life, he is about to see the miracle with his own eyes standing before him in his court. The timing of God is everything. And so now God is going to pour out a greater blessing to her. It's something she didn't even ask for. So she came there to appeal, but she didn't ask for it. She was going to, but she didn't even have the chance. So the king then assigned an official to her case and said to him, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now." So Gehazi just happened to be in the presence of the king, and the king just happened to be asking about this Shunammite woman, and they just happened to be right there at the very time. And I tell you what, I have realized in my life that nothing just happens, because he orders not only our footsteps, but he orders the steps of other people in order to accomplish his will for our lives. Man, get that in you. So he cares so much for us and the things that we're experiencing. He provides even those things that we don't even ask for. She didn't even have a chance to ask. You know, all the king did was hear this miraculous story. So he said, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land." God's timing of a conversation. It was just a conversation that the king and Gehazi was talking. God's timing of that conversation. But he said, "Everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land." Remember, there was a famine, okay? So there's a famine in the land. Crops weren't really growing as flourishing as it used to. But her land still produced income in the 7 years she was away. Wow, that says something. He said, "Give it back to her. All the income from those 7 years, give it to her." The blessing and increase of God. God is good. He was so good to her. I want to show you a clip. And many of you guys may have seen this from Facing the Giants. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but it's Facing the Giants, Grant Taylor. He is a Christian high school football coach. And he gets some, you know, very bad news besides his wife and him not being able to have a baby, the infertility issues that they were having. He even faced opposition with parents because in the 6 years that he was there, you know, his football team never even won. And so they were wanting to get rid of him. And so this scene that I'm going to show you, and hopefully I can put it to where you guys can see it with here on my screen. But the scene here is they win the championship and he's in the locker room with his winning team. So I'm going to try and turn my screen around so that you can see this. And let me know if it's... try to put it on full screen here. All right, so my volume is up.
David Shoulders.
I don't know if you can see this.
Don't you ever let anyone tell you that you're under par, second rate, or inferior. I just watched God do a miracle through you. I saw a field of giants, 85 of them to be exact, fall in defeat. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
Zach? I just watched you and the offense do what they said could not be done. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
Bruh, how about it? Built that stone wall, didn't you? And it stood. Now you tell me what's impossible with God.
Nothing, Coach.
How about it, Scott? What's impossible with God?
Nothing.
Are you sure? Because those giants are big. They outnumber us 3-1. Are you sure there's nothing impossible with God?
Sure, Coach.
How about it, Nathan? What's impossible with God?
Nothing, Coach.
Jonathan?
Nothing.
Are you positive?
Positive, Coach.
So am I. So am I. God can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. And he chooses to work in our lives because he loves us. Because he's good. Hope today is a milestone for what he can do for the rest of your life. If you trust him. And we spend some time thanking him.
Who just walked in this house? Couldn't be the state champion coach Grant Taylor, could it? Because he's not supposed to live here. He's supposed to be out looking for a job.
God did it, Brooke. He did it. He gave me this job. Provided for our needs. Took away my fear. Throws in the state championship just because he can. It's been one of the best days of my life.
The day's not over yet.
What do you mean?
Grant Taylor, I just want you to know that you've made the team.
What team?
The daddy team.
We're gonna have a baby.
We're gonna have a baby. Now tell me, Coach Taylor. Tell me what's impossible when God's on your side.
Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sing and a storm surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants call out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win.
I loved, I tell you what, that movie, I've never forgotten it when I saw it. I tell you what, it's just, and I bawled, I cried. I'm like, oh God. And the part where he said, oh God, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed, the goodness that God was just pouring out upon them. Because during this movie, there were so many times he just felt like giving up. He felt like a failure. Everyone was against him. You know, they were trying to get rid of him. And yet God had other plans. And so he said, is anything impossible with God? And I began to think about, even when we stand before judges, and some of you know the testimony about my son Ryan, that time that he was accused of stealing tires and this whole situation, but we knew We knew this was, you know, God was in this. He was going to prove him innocent. And I'll tell you what, I remember it was quite comical, actually, just sitting in the courtroom and this prosecutor, you know, trying to accuse and say everything that Ryan, you know, was doing to steal. And I'll tell you what, every one of his prosecutor's witnesses basically was corroborating Ryan's story. I mean, it was just like, really, you know, but we had such a peace going in there. And at one point, the prosecutor, during his closing argument, he was trying to, you know, close. The judge just interrupted him. He didn't even let him have a closing argument. And he spoke and he goes, first of all, you haven't proven intent, that he intended to do this. He even, you know, it showed, everything was on video. He didn't, you know, and it was just like, he just shut him down. And we knew walking out of there that, you know, he was going to be proven innocent. Of course, we had to wait for the letter in the mail, but we knew, because it was just amazing to see God work, you know. And so, but even when we stand before judges, he will uphold justice for our favor. And so I know that, and there's things that you have maybe that you're, things that have to go before court and you're trying. God is going to do favor. And so that's the kind of God that we serve. And so his plan, his purpose for our lives is being written in the pages of heaven. And so don't be surprised that those things that you're going through right now, you may have disappointments and you may have heartache. You may have cried out to God and said, you know, God, I didn't even ask for this to happen in my life. You know, where are you? You know, I didn't want, you know, this situation to be put on me, but it seems like it's on me. I didn't ask for it. And so I want to just encourage you to not only say, you know, God, why am I going through this? But just to trust him that no matter what you're going through, he's in it. Okay? He may not have caused it, but you're in this situation. He's going to do everything. He's going to move heaven and earth to do his will and his purpose. And that means he's going to change the lives of other people because it's in his appointed time. And everything that we do, we got to trust him. We got to know that God is going to orchestrate things. He's going to put people in places. He's got to do it. We don't even have to do it. Just trust in him that he's going to do it. So, don't get to the point where you're tired of hoping anymore. Don't give up. Just remember, I love the scripture where Elisha shut the door behind him. Get alone. Get personal with God because he's the one that truly knows you and he knows your heart anyway. And so you may begin to get up. You may begin pacing the floor, but stay engaged. Stay engaged. Put your faith in action because stay connected because he's the one that's writing the story. His word is true. Stop trying to take the pen out of God's hand and having you write your own story because it ain't your story that you're writing. It's his story that he's writing on your behalf. Are you willing to wait on the timing of God? Sometimes it's hard in the waiting. It's hard in the waiting. Again, with Elijah, we don't know how long he was pacing the floor. We know that he laid on top of him and the body grew warm, but nothing was happening. So he began pacing the floor. Other versions of the Bible, it says that he was walking throughout the house. I don't think he left the room. I think he stayed in that room. But he was pacing. He was pacing. And so, again, we don't know if an hour went by. We don't know if 5 hours went by. We don't even know if it was only 2 minutes. But we know that was put in the Word of God for a reason. He was pacing the floor. And that's meaning don't give up. God was going to perform a miracle, but don't give up. Keep your faith engaged. Don't give up on the promise that's right before you. The miracle is going to take place. Don't give up. Don't give up on His Word. Don't give up on His promises. Are you willing and able to say it is well in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the disappointments, in the midst of the unanswered prayers? I know I've talked a little bit to Deb, and God has given her the phrase, "It is well." In the midst of everything, that of her loss, her disappointment, she says, "I can say it as well." And I tell you that's a place that only God can really put you in, that peace and trusting that no matter what her future, God's got it, and she can say it as well. We need to get to that place. We need to be so reliant upon God that no matter what we're going through, what no matter what disappoints, no matter what we're fighting against, it is well. I trust God. I'm going to put my faith into action. I'm not going to prepare for a burial, but I'm going to make preparations for a miracle to happen. That's my trust. That's my faith in my God. It's 11 o'clock. I just want to really just to say a prayer over you. As I was writing this, I just began to write a prayer over each person that was going to be here today. And I'm just going to kind of read it. But I do want you just to receive. Because the one thing that I was praying about this lesson was, you know, I had read this story, but I didn't really read this story. And it was like it all of a sudden came alive to me as I was studying this about the Shunammite. I tell you what, I was just like, wow. And then I forgot about the second half of the story, you know, because it wasn't right after the other one. So it was almost like it became a new story on something else. And it just didn't dawn on me the continuation. So we have to remember that God is continuing our story. That wasn't just over with her son. Man, God had more and more and more things in store for her. And so just know that He is writing your story. He has His eyes upon you. Everything that you are concerned about and that you care about, God cares about even more because He loves us and He loves everything that concerns us. So God, I pray for each woman here. God, I thank You that You are writing their story. And God, I pray that You would continue to show that You have never left them. God, that You're working on their behalf. And God, I pray that they do not become weary in the waiting. And God, I hear that each prayer that is spoken, even those that are unspoken, that You know their hearts. And God, I ask for supernatural strength and faith to be activated. God, that they would read this story and they would relate to a woman with an unshakable faith and obedience to Your word. No matter what appears hopeless, that God, they can put their confidence in You as their true source. And I pray that You would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings in such a greater measure. Restore what the enemy has taken. God, may they be able to say what they're going through, that it is well. I ask that You would help them to stop preparing for a burial, but God, that they would begin to prepare for a miracle. May they hold on to the promise that was spoken over their life and make preparations for the miracle that is truly coming to them. God, that not only will You give back, but You will give an increase in their lives. Even those things that they didn't ask for, God. Pour out Your blessings. Let faith rise up in such a greater measure that so when trials and disappointments come, they can stand up and they can place those things at Your feet. They can close the door. God, give them strength and boldness to keep going and to speak the words that there is nothing that is impossible with their God. So God, again, I thank You. I thank You for each woman here. I know that this was a word, God, that You gave me as an encouragement, God, that no matter what these people and what we go through as women, God, that You would remind us that we can put our faith into action. God, that no matter what is coming our way, God, You want us to have the ability, God, and the knowledge, and God, the belief, God, that's in our head, the belief system to know, God, that I am not going to be moved by any circumstance because my confidence and my hope is in the Lord God. God, help us to put our faith into action. God, help us to unbury those things that we buried in our past, God. Bring those back to life, God, so that we can give them to you, God, and we can know that we know that we know, God. You are going to resurrect those things, God, and you're going to pour out such a blessing upon us. Oh, God, your will, your purpose, your timing. God, this story is so important in this word of God, and I just pray that their hearts, God, would be open. God, the enlightenment of your word would come alive within them. Oh, God, I thank you for the faith of the Shunammite woman. God, I just pray that we begin to walk in that place of great faith. God, that we don't seek other people, God, but we seek you. You're the one that gives us the word. You're the one that gives us the promise. God, you're the one that can perform the miracle. It's through your spoken word that's the truth. Let us hide it within our hearts, God. Let us come to the place where we believe, that we believe, that we believe. God, that we know, we know, we know, we know that you are more than able and will do above abundantly all that we would ask or think in this day and in this hour. God, pour your spirit out on each person, God, that even when they go home, God, whatever they put their hands to, God, you're going to prosper. God, you're going to speak life. You're going to speak healing. You're going to speak those miraculous things in their life, God, that the windows of heaven, God, are just going to be so great that, God, they're going to get to the point where when they're laying at your feet, they're going to say, I'm overwhelmed by the goodness of God. God, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the purpose. God, I thank you for each story that you're writing down with each person that's here. God, even the people that are listening, God. You have a plan. You have a purpose, a destiny, and a calling, and you're writing their story. Help them not to give up. Help them not to pick up the pen and say, well, this is how it should be. When God, you're the one that's writing the story. God, I don't want to write my own story because I know your story's got to be better than what I could even write. And God, in the very things that I think should happen, God, you're wanting to close doors. Those things that I think are closed doors that you're wanting to open. So God, as I'm standing on the outside of this door, God, as we have a door in front of us, God, I pray that you would begin to provide revelation, God. That our miracle is just waiting there. But we got to put our faith into action and then we got to walk through it. We got to walk through the door to grab hold of the miracle that's waiting. So God, give us revelation. Give us knowledge. Give us discernment. God, to be so concentrated on you, God, that we can be obedient, just like that Shunammite, when the word of God says you need to go. There's going to be a famine in the land. This is for your protection. God, that we just leave everything. We leave everything. We just be obedient to you. God, because your love for us is to care for us. God, we don't know what went through her mind. God, her husband, her family. But God, she was standing on the truth. When she heard the voice of God, she knew that it was God. And God, she walked in complete, utter obedience to you. God, I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place where, God, when you're speaking to me, I'm just going to walk in. I'm not going to think twice about it. God, I'm just going to say, okay, we got to go. God's saying this. I've got to go. I got to go. I'm not going to be swayed. I'm not going to have my husband. No, no, no. I'm just going to go. I'm going to be obedient to God. Help us to long for that quietness, God, that place, that closet, God, to close the door and just get alone with you. God, so many times we have all these distractions that want to keep us from going into that secret place. God, I pray right now that you would help me. God, I'm even preaching to myself. God, but help us to know what those distractions are that's keeping us from closing that door. Because, God, that's the place where you want to speak the word. So many times we're missing our miracles because we're not hearing it from all the distractions. God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to say what you've called me to speak. I want to go where you've called me to go. God, help each of us to walk in that place that you truly desire us to walk in. God, that we don't walk in condemnation if we aren't praying. We feel like sometimes we're not praying enough, or you know, we're not doing this enough. But God, it is a condemnation. God, you just want us to focus every minute of our day. Just God, to say, God, I thank you that you're walking with me. You're walking with me to Walmart. You're walking with me to this place. God, you're ordering my steps. So God, I thank you that you've awakened your word, God. You've awakened it within me, God, even as I was teaching this, God. God, I want to hide your word in my heart. I want to have it bring revelation and truth within us, God, as it teaches us where you want us to walk. And God, this was a perfect story. God, I cannot get this story out of my mind. The faith and action and the belief that this woman had, even in the midst of everything that she went through, God, the tragedy, God. She didn't make preparations for a burial. She made preparations for a miracle. So God, I just pray that you would be with us, be with the women, God, that you would once again just pour out your spirit, your blessings on their households. God, that you would give them every desire of their heart. God, that you would begin to open up the windows of heaven for them to receive those unspoken and even those prayers that they've spoken directly to you, God, that they would be able to receive the miracle. And God, even in the waiting, God, to keep their faith built up, knowing that you are working about all things for your good because you love us. And so, God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.